Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Government or bust. Here it is, Thursday, July number 12 in the year of our Lord 2018. As we rumble along into summer, it's going to be another nice summery day. I guess you could say it's out there. It's going to be fairly warm, upper 70s, low 80s today. It's mostly sunny. I don't know. Are they expecting some rain? We might be, I don't know, either today or tomorrow, I think. Possible thunderstorms. We get a little bit of rumbling. At least I always seem to choose places to live where the major stuff does not, knock on wood, I'm not going to complain, but the major stuff doesn't happen. We had some hail here the other day, I guess. You know, pea size up to, I guess, walnut size hail. But it didn't. It wasn't in the greater Concord area. Well, I guess it was in the greater. It's a town, what, east of here? You got hit with it? It wasn't the Pembroke, Concord, Bow, Penacook area. It was, I think it was Chichester, or do they pronounce it? I still don't know how they properly pronounce it. Chichester or Chichester? I've been here for... I've been in this area for a long time now, almost a decade. Can't believe it's been that long. But in the Concord area, and I don't know how they properly pronounce that. I've heard it both ways, Chichester and Chichester. I'm not sure the official pronunciation. This is New England, after all, and New Englanders tend to not know how to properly pronounce things. I've gone over this before. For instance, we have Peabody, Mass. Well, it's not Peabody, it's Peabody, because it was named after, I can't remember who it was named after, but it was named after a person whose last name was Peabody, but somehow it got changed to Peabody, much like up there in Berlin, New Hampshire, but that's not how it's pronounced, and folks, I am not kidding you, it is spelled like Berlin, it was originally pronounced like Berlin. But after World War II, the pronunciation was, quote-unquote, officially changed to Berlin. I am not joking. But this is New England. And, of course, we have Worcester or Worcester, which is called Worcester. That's how they pronounce it, Worcester. Yes. I do recall when I first moved here and I had an appointment, a business appointment in the city of Worcester. I was looking for Worcester on the map and could not find it. I missed my appointment that day. I'm like, there's no Worcester on the map. Go back and ask these people, you've got to go back and ask these people where Worcester is. What town they really, and they're telling me it's like one of the biggest cities in Massachusetts. What do you mean you don't know where Worcester is? It's not on the map. It is on the map right there. That's not Worcester. But this is from a non- You know, not growing up in the area. I was born in Springfield, outside of Springfield, Massachusetts, but I'm only a New Englander by birth. The rest of it, I obviously had the pleasure of missing learning the New England accent and mispronunciations of things. And there are those are not the only examples. There are tons of examples like that. Just, I mean, you could get, if you're an outsider coming to visit or moving to New England, I could see how you could easily get lost. Because we don't know how to pronounce stuff over here. At least properly. Anyway, welcome aboard. We got a wonderful, I don't know, is it a wonderful program? Yeah, we got some good stuff, got some bad stuff, got some say what stuff, got some scratch your head stuff today. Absolutely unbelievable stuff that is happening out there, such as Twitter is back on the fake news or fake account kick. Yes, Twitter is expected, they announced that they are going to slash another 1 million accounts, but now they're calling them followers. There's a subtle difference or a subtle change in Twitter now. Oh, yeah, we're gonna cut followers. Well, in order to have a follower, that follower's got to have a Twitter account, do they not? Yeah, so now that, folks, it's all up, these people on the left, they think it's about the words that they use. Everything surrounds, forget the actual meaning of stuff, forget whatever you really mean about anything. It's how it sounds that makes a difference. If you say, if Twitter feels that if they said, well, they're going to slash or cut a million accounts, well, there'd be a big, big uproar. So they think by saying that, oh, we're just going to slash a million followers. Well, it's the same damn thing. But it sounds more benign. And then they're saying, oh, well, the average Twitter account will lose only on average about 4 followers. You'll barely even notice. Well, of course, some of the larger accounts, which are the ones that they're really attacking, the larger accounts will lose a significant number because they're the ones that have more fake followers. So let me see if I can explain this to you a little bit easier, a little bit better. You've got, let's say, I don't know, Diamond and Silk. How many people that follow them now? You know, they're what, close to a million followers? Now you can go and actually check. There are, and I'm happy to say I'm over 90% supposed real followers. But you can go and there are a couple of online programs, places you can go to check to see if you're following. I don't know how all of these wonderful, you know, second or third party software people online can tell who's a fake follower and who's not, and Twitter can't. I don't know how that works. But in any case, so you can utilize these services, and most of them are free. And they'll scan your follower list and come back with a number. And you can do, and some of these you can do anybody, not just your own. You could say, well, how many real followers does this particular person or account have? And it'll check and tell you. It doesn't matter how many followers that they have, it'll go back, it'll bring you back a number. And it doesn't change. You could do this on a daily basis and it stays pretty consistent. And the interesting thing is that I've used 3 different free services and they've all come back almost exactly the same. So somehow they're able to tell who's fake and who's not. But Twitter, again, has a hard time determining who's real and who's not. So I do know that there are some larger accounts like Diamond and Silk. There are a bunch of bots that do follow these big, these larger accounts. But the reality is that when Twitter goes through their purge of bots, guess whose numbers don't really change? Now, when I delved into this a little bit more, what I found out was that right-leaning bots are not the only bots out there. There are left-leaning bots, too. But the interesting thing is, obviously, is the people who are left-leaning, who do all this kind of negative stuff towards conservative people and who are only there to cause trouble for the conservatives, they have bots too, and it's very easy to, I guess, I don't know how you set up a bot, but evidently it's very easy to set up a bot. for anybody to do it. This is why Twitter has constantly to get rid of bots, I guess. It's very easy to set up a bot. I mean, you can there is marketing gurus out there, and you know, I know I'm in marketing and advertising, and I wince every time I see one of these marketing gurus tell you how to do certain stuff. You know, this black hat crap. It only gets you in trouble. But they said, oh yeah, you know, this is how you work the system in things like Twitter and Instagram. Do you know there are Instagram bots too? I thought Instagram was all about taking pictures. Well, yeah, there are Instagram bots. But they go about telling you how to set up. You know, you got to have one particular person that was talking about how he gained such a following for whatever he was doing, because he had 100 different Twitter accounts. 95 of them were bots. I'm thinking 100 accounts. How the hell do you have time to even set them up, let alone manage them? Oh, well, 95 of them are bots. In other words, the bot automatically, you set it up once and it automatically does everything. Yeah, again, I don't know how you do that, but they do. And this is the whole system. But you notice now that the left knows how to do this too. And they use these bots to harass and harangue conservatives. They will go on to, you know, they will glom on to people like Diamond and Silk. They will glom on to those kind. I follow less than half the people that follow me. Not because I don't, you know, want to follow people. Well, I'm being picky about it. And one of the reasons is because I'm making sure that I'm following real people. And, you know, at least once a week I do an audit of mine just to make sure that real people are following me. And I haven't blocked anybody, but I'm looking to make sure that I don't have a bunch of bots following me. And if I do see a bot, I want to know who it is. And then I usually address them directly. And sure enough, usually if I can do that, they usually go away. But, you know, you got something like Diamond and Silk that has probably 10% of their followers are bots, and you're 800,000 followers. Well, that's a lot to deal with. So those are the kind of people that are going to see their numbers supposedly drop, but they're not going to see their bot percentage drop, because that's what happened the last time when Twitter had the Twitter purge. They were claiming that they were going after bots. Well, large accounts like that on the right did not see a significant drop in the percentage of their followers of bots. They were real people. And this is, look, I already know that there's somebody out there that has been dumped. And, they were claiming I was a bot. And I kept pointing out that I'm a real person, and this is the only account I have, and I'm a real, and they kept telling me, no, you're a bot. So now they're not only just going after what they claim to be bots, they're determining that even real people are bots. And if you object and even are able to prove that your account is not a bot account, they'll still label you a bot, and that's it. Now, I know that, you know, people say, well, why is everybody complaining about Twitter? Just stop using it. I get it. And look, I've mentioned this, but the one and only time that they restricted me, they put me in Twitter jail. And I specifically gave them a number of different accounts that use exactly the same type of language that I did, that evidently got me temporarily put in jail. And I said, if you ever do that again, without any reason, I will not use Twitter at all. Now, sometimes you got to be firm with them. Now, I have proven that, you know, I don't have a huge following, less than 15,000 followers. I'll admit it. But, you know, over 90% of them are real, and I have a good interaction. And I have a little bit of influence with them. And the one thing that Twitter does know is that if you piss off the wrong people, it's going to hurt their business. And you've got to make it clear that if they bother you, you're the wrong person. Now, instead of getting rid of Donald Trump, what they're trying to do is get rid of some of Donald Trump's followers. But that's not working. That's not working. They can't get rid of the president. That would be the death knell. They know they'd be signing their death warrant then. But they can eliminate some of President Trump's followers by calling them bots. But see, that doesn't work anymore. See, once upon a time, Facebook and Twitter was it in social media land. That's not the case anymore. The social media, as we used to know it, really no longer exists. It is fragmented. And I'm telling you now that now you've got things like you've got Pinterest, you've got LinkedIn. You've got the alternative Twitters, you know, one of them is Gab. You've got the alternative Facebooks. One of them is MeWe. There's another one, the Tea Party something is another one. And these are, you know, alternative Facebooks. Pinterest is something totally different. Think of it as, well, it's a pinup board. In a way, it's like an Instagram. But people over on Pinterest don't post a lot of selfies, thankfully. But there's all kinds of stuff that you can follow over on Pinterest. Pinterest is just massive. And then there are up-and-comers. You know, Discord has opened its platform, much like Facebook did, back in 07, 08 or somewhere around there. And there's all kinds of stuff that's happening on Discord. And Discord has an advantage over Facebook for a number of different reasons, but I'm not going to get into all that kind of stuff. But they may still be the elephant. Facebook and Twitter still may be the elephants in the room, but they're no longer as big as they used to be. And as a matter of fact, Facebook is in trouble. People don't realize this. Trust me. People at Facebook realize it. Now, maybe they don't realize the extent of the trouble that they're in, but when you start having major, large stockholders start talking about and spreading rumors of getting rid of Mark Zuckerberg, well, they're not going to get rid of somebody if they're making you money. You don't get rid of your founder, your CEO, and your president of your company if they're making money, if they're making you fat and happy. The problem is Zuck is not making him fat and happy, and he's not in the mood to change what needs to be changed. To stop, Facebook is bleeding right now. So is Twitter. They don't want you to think so, but they are. The number of ad views, according to a couple of industry sites, the number of ad views on Twitter is dropping. Not necessarily because there are fewer people buying ads over on Twitter, but because Twitter is getting rid of real people, not bots, so there's fewer eyeballs. The same thing is happening with Facebook. Are you wondering why Facebook is now inundating your email box with all kinds of crap? Because the length of engagement on Facebook is dropping. You know, people, you know, I'll just use round numbers. It used to be that every day people spend an hour and a half on Facebook. Well, to show you how bad it's dropping, that hour and a half has now turned into an hour and going south. So people are not only logging into Facebook less, when they do, they spend less time there. And of course, the less time that you spend on Facebook, the less chances and opportunities they have to show you ads and do other stuff with you. This is why they have that stupid television ad, folks. It's desperation time. So now they're trying to shake up the words that they use, and Twitter saying, "Well, we're just going to get slash a million followers or so." Well, those followers are not bots. They're real people. And you better believe who they're going to go after. They're going to go after it like they have been going after. They're going to go after, you know, people who lean right on the political side. Now look, they may think that, you know, it was a bad idea for Twitter to get so political. Maybe. But it's not the only thing that's on Twitter. If you look at the trending stuff, a lot of the trending stuff doesn't have anything to do with politics. So obviously there are people using Twitter for more than just talking politics. But everybody, somebody says something or does something from the political side, it seems to blow up. Well, there are other things that blow up on Twitter as well. And the reason why nobody talks about it is because most people don't care about it. Now, they don't care about Kim Kardashian's latest brouhaha. Believe it or not, I'm still trying to figure out how the hell they're still on the air. But in any case, so if you notice over the next few days that your followership is now Twitter's also been doing something very sneaky, and there have been people that have been pointing this out. Some people have been scratching their heads trying to figure out why they are not growing their followership. And some people are able to, but there are a lot of especially smaller accounts. They're wondering why they can't get to 5,000 followers, 10,000 followers, you know, these milestones, 25,000 followers, 50. And they've been doing it for a while, and they see their numbers remain flat. I've noticed this. It's because they keep eliminating people. So if you've noticed, like, I'll just sit there and do nothing an entire day, and I'll watch my followers count. In some cases, you know, depending on the time, by the end of the day, there has been a 50-person change. Now, have my numbers gone up by 50? No. Somehow, I'll lose like 30 followers, gain 20. Really? What the hell is going on with that? That's Twitter managing. They've been caught doing it. They deny it, of course, but the reality is, and now, you know, the other thing about Twitter is that people on Twitter talk to one another, even off of Twitter. They write articles about Twitter. They show screenshots about Twitter. It only leaves you with one conclusion. You know, Jack Dorsey and the gang are doing everything that they can in order to try, without it looking like they're squashing any type of anybody's freedom of speech rights. Trying to make it look like there's still an open platform of sharing ideas, that they're just, but they're being really careful and chomping down on fake news. The reality is what they're after and who they're after are those of us on the right. So now you're going to get rid of millions and millions of more accounts that are suspicious. That is what they're saying. Your followers. Because, hey, after all, you know, if you're a conservative, you've got to be suspicious. You can't be real because, after all, everybody who's real has got to be a leftist, right?
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show, the coolest, most politically incorrect, conservative black man on the planet.
See that cute little dog in the pet store window? Chances are it came from a puppy mill. A breeding facility that forces caged, neglected, and often sick dogs to churn out puppy after puppy to be sold for profit. Meanwhile, millions of wonderful, healthy pets end up in animal shelters. This leads to the killing of more than 9,000 by the end of today. But with one simple choice, you can help. Just by deciding to adopt instead of purchase your next pet. Animal shelters are full of amazing pets looking for a home. When you adopt your new best friend, not only are you saving a life, you're taking a stand against puppy mills. When your friends see the smart choice and impact you've made, they adopt their next pet and share with five of their friends, who share with five more. Before long, thousands get involved. Pet stores stop selling dogs from puppy mills, and even more lives are saved. And with your help, we can save them all. Visit bestfriends.org/puppymills to learn more.
Were you born from 1945 to 1965? People born during these years are 5 times more likely to have hepatitis C. But most people don't know they are infected. So even if you try to eat right, exercise, and take care of yourself, you can still have hepatitis C, a serious liver disease that often has no symptoms. In fact, people can live with hepatitis C for decades without feeling or looking sick. But over time, hepatitis C can cause serious health problems, including liver damage, liver failure, or even liver cancer. Getting tested is the only way to know if you're infected with hepatitis C. That's why the CDC recommends everyone born from 1945 to 1965 get a blood test for hepatitis C. Treatments are available that can cure this disease. So talk to your doctor about getting tested. It could save your life. A message from the CDC.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
Let's go to town. Let's raise our expectations. Let's prepare to be delighted. Let's raise a glass in our spirits. Most of all, let's have some fun doing it. Let's go to Kalamazoo, a big little city in southwest Michigan, a community like no other, where crime is high and old water pipes bursting will have us asking to leave. Where every hour and every day there's new crime to see or hear, drug deals and overdoses, police stations and jails running at full capacity all the time. Polluted water at the diner, detours from broken water mains that are sure to make us want to leave. Let's go to Kalamazoo and embrace all the crime this town has to offer. Because the times we savor the most are pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.gov.
Issues. Now, if you've listened to this program for a while, then you know I have my own little private war, if you want to call it that, with none other than the TSA, because I think the TSA is overstepping its constitutional bounds. And we, as the American people, now's the time to do it. We've got to demand that Donald Trump, President Trump, does something about the TSA. they're getting more and more out of control. And the people, now, don't get me wrong, we definitely need to have good, strong, effective airport security. But we've noted on this program, and not just this program, but many, you know, newscasters, and not just conservatives, but liberals as well, leftists as well, have noted that the TSA is not living up to what it was claimed to live up to. And this is now, folks, this is a George W. Bush invention, by the way. Much like the Patriot Act, which I was adamantly against. I was adamantly against having the TSA come into being. I warned. I didn't have a radio show back then, but I warned my friends and coworkers and things that this is not. They're all like, "Yeah, this is a good idea. We need a national police force like the TSA and the airport. That's not a good idea. You bring it into government, it is a bad, bad idea. You're going to come to regret it." And soon enough, it all started with what's the guy's name that said, "Don't touch my junk, bro." That's when it all started. Anybody remember that? I know a lot of people. I have not forgotten it. I know a lot of people have. That guy, you know, trying to get through airport security. And then they wanted to, you know, and then it started happening over and over again. And they wanted to arrest people who decided that they didn't want to go through the TSA and go through that process of being groped. And that they just wanted to, they didn't want to fly. They didn't have their check, you know, they didn't have any check bags. They had carry-on bags. So they weren't leaving bags behind. They just wanted to go. They wanted to leave the airport, and they were trying to detain these people who refused to be groped by the TSA. Anybody remember this? Well, folks, I haven't forgotten. Look, you go through the airport process. You're like cattle. It is the most degrading thing that you will ever go through. At the behest of our own government. And they were trying to make it so that you didn't have a choice. Once you entered the airport, you lost all of your constitutional rights and you could not leave. Kind of reminds me of when I saw that, when they were saw the video of this, of that guy, you know, filming everything, trying to leave the airport, and they were trying to detain him. Saying, "Well, we can arrest you if you don't go through." He's like, "Well, I don't want to go through. You can't arrest me for going through." "Well, you can't leave." Like, "Well, why can't I leave? I don't want to fly. You guys are not going to touch me. There's no reason for you to do it." You go, "Well, we have to do it." And he goes, "No." And he refused. You know what it reminded me of? The 70s song by the Eagles, Hotel California. You can check in anytime you like, but you can never leave. And folks, it's only getting worse. These wonderful security tests that they've stopped publicizing now because they've all been a dismal failure. You know, how many, you can go and just look this stuff up, see how many times that they've done these tests, you know, trying to get the testers, see if the TSA agents pick up, you know, illegal guns and other, you know, contraband that you can't, weapons, excuse me, that you can't, you're not supposed to be able to take on the airplane. And in some airports, the failure rate has been as high as 80%. Well, I'm sorry, but even if it's just 1%, that's not a good thing. If a real terrorist wanted to try to get through the TSA, evidently, according to all this testing that they've done over the years, they'd be able to do it. In the meantime, they're stopping and frisking and groping nuns, grannies, you know, 5 and 6 year old boys and girls. But the woman with the full face covered hijab, because of religious reasons, gets to go through unscathed, untouched. None of that makes any sense. And remember when they first brought out those naked body scanners? Yes, I said naked. And oh, no, all that is safe. Nobody else is going to see your naked body. And then the pictures started appearing on the internet. Anybody remember that? And then we found out that the naked body scanners didn't catch everything, even though they supposedly show you naked. And so you still got to take off your shoes and your belt and everything else. Our airport security system is the laughingstock joke of the world. And it's only getting worse. Got the story? TSA screeners win immunity from abuse claims. Now, how do you like that? Even do you realize that even police officers are not immune for most civil lawsuits? A police officer is not immune, but TSA agents are going to be immune? Well, here's a story from Yahoo News. Flyers may have a tough time recovering damages for invasive screenings at U.S. airport security checkpoints after a federal appeals court yesterday said screeners are immune from claims under a federal law governing assaults, false arrests, and other abuses. A cop on the street can be sued for all of that stuff, personally and his police department and the city or town that he works for. Federal TSA screeners, according to this appeals court, says that they're immune to such things. You know what this is going to foster? It is going to foster massive abuse. And the flying public, especially the American citizen, is not going to have any recourse whatsoever against abusive behavior. In a 2-1 vote, the Third U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia, or as they say here in New England, Philadelphia, so Transportation Security Administration screeners were not investigative or law enforcement officers and were therefore shielded from liability under the Federal Tort Claims Act. Well, if they're not investigative or law enforcement, why do we have to obey them? I'm not being facetious here at all, folks. If they are in no way considered to be... Now, security... Are they just security? Well, even security personnel, be they in a courthouse or a government building or in a mall, they're not immune to lawsuits or surrounding assaults, false arrest or detainment, or other abuses. Security personnel everywhere, they're not law enforcement. But they're subject to that. So now TSA agents have been made basically superhuman and can't be touched. Are you kidding me? Well, Rod, you don't have to fly. No, I get it. And better yet, you know, what I really need to do is become just wealthy enough so I can either have my own private little airplane better yet, so I don't have to worry about the maintenance and stuff on it, which you just charter an aircraft. You get to bypass all that crap. By the way, did you know that? If you charter an aircraft or you have a private aircraft, you don't go through screening. Look, this is another thing that people are saying. You know, it's kind of useless. If somebody wants to pull another, it's more expensive, but if they want to pull another 9/11, all they have to do is charter air. You can charter any kind of plane you want. And if terrorist groups have money, they can charter some 747s or 57s or 67s. I mean, there are people around the world that have, you know, John Travolta owns a 727 himself, and he flies it too. I guess he's a fantastic pilot. Well, good for him. All it takes is money. So no, the average person can't do it. But did you know that there are these, and actually, I didn't think that this would ever take off, but this was something before 9/11 happened, when somebody tried to get me to invest in this charter type of aircraft company. Now, here was the basis of it. You know, you could buy a piece of an airplane. You know, if you want an airplane, you could buy a piece of an airplane. Didn't matter who you were. Buy a piece of an airplane. And, of course, it'd be like REITs, Real Estate Investment Trust. It was a REIT for an airplane. And so you have a whole bunch of people that invest in this company that buys these planes, and you own a piece of the plane, I guess, or the company, and it's like your own private airline. And didn't cost you as much. Chartering an aircraft is pretty expensive, but it didn't cost you as much. It was more than a regular airline ticket, but less than chartering an aircraft, because everybody shared the cost of these things. And whenever you needed to go somewhere, you would put in a request to book a time and schedule, and depending on how many planes they have, you book the plane, and there you go. And that was before 9/11. I said, that's just dumb. Nobody's going to do that. Then 9/11 hit, and I should have done it. Hindsight is 20/20. And if I could have bypassed all that stuff going through TSA, wouldn't have to worry about it. But folks, this is something that the president needs to clamp down on. As far as I know, they haven't prevented anything yet. TSA. They haven't prevented any hijacking. Hell, in the tech. How many times? Well, you never know, Rod. You know, they caught some of these people that say they forgot they had a firearm on them. Like, yeah, what's happened to most of those people? I mean, we've even had, congressmen. Elected officials who brought an unloaded firearm on their carry-on baggage because they forgot they had it with them or something stupid like that. I think they were part of the test. They were being tested. The TSA was being tested, and they're using some of these, elected officials as test subjects. And I think they were in on it, know it. But this is, how else do you test? How else do these people get through? Well, they got to have people that are willing to do this and so they don't get in trouble, obviously, if TSA is just testing them. Because I never heard of an elected official being taken to court because it's illegal. It's a big crime. You go to jail for that kind of stuff. And I haven't heard of any elected official going to jail over this or even going to court, which makes me think that they were participating in tests. This is how they know how many get through. Because they're using regular people as test subjects. And I'm sure they all volunteer. Nobody's forced to do it. But I don't see them having prevented anything. And yet they seem to think that we need to increase security. We need to increase. Why? There hasn't been any threats in the past. What are the threats now? There aren't any more threats in there. In fact, there's probably less threats because actually Donald Trump has killed off probably a good 80 or 90% of terrorists out there. He's decimated ISIS and a couple of other terror groups. So, I mean, who's left? Well, you got all those sleeper cells. Can I just tell you something about the sleeper cells in this country? Now, folks, do not misunderstand me when I say this. Sleeper cells are in this country, and they are dangerous. But the point is that they're not as dangerous as some people make them out to be. Why? Because if they were, they would have attacked. The point is that when you start cutting off the head, those cells don't know what to do. They're not trained to think on for themselves or to do things on their own. They're trained to wait for orders, for coordinated attacks. And Donald Trump has seen to it that he's cut off the head of the snake for a number of organizations, making a lot of these terror cell groups benign. Not all of them, but a lot of them. So if the threat level has actually decreased, not increased, around the globe, then why is the TSA stepping up and why is the TSA getting immunity for abusing airline passengers? And we know that people have been abused. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there have been so few TSA agents fired over physical abuse, it's ridiculous. I mean, more cops have gone to jail for false arrests than TSA agents have been fired for abuse. Something needs to be done about the TSA in order to make it a truly responsive agency that really does keep the American flying public safe. Because right now, I don't get on a plane feeling safe. And remember, feeling doesn't really, your feelings don't matter anyway. Well, it's always good to feel safe. No, it doesn't. This is why I say feelings don't matter. Every single one of those people that died on September 11th, 2001, got on those airplanes feeling safe. Were they safe? No. But they felt safe. They felt safe until they crashed into the buildings or the ground. So did their feelings count? Absolutely not. And to think what the TSA is doing to the American public now, will that prevent another 9/11? As far as we've seen through some of the testing that they've done, no. I hate to tell you folks, but no. It will not, they will not prevent another 9/11. If there's going to be a 9/11 coming out of this country, our TSA is most likely not going to catch it and prevent it. And yet, you've got an appeals court out of Philadelphia that says that they are immune for being sued for assaults, false arrest, or false detainment, or other abuses. Now, of course, the majority in this ruling said that they were sympathetic to concerns that its decisions would leave flyers with very limited legal redress for alleged mistreatment by aggressive or overzealous screeners, which adds to the ordinary stresses of air travel. For most people, TSA screenings are an unavoidable feature of flying, but it is squarely in the realm of Congress to expand liability for abuses, so Circuit Judge Cheryl Ann Krause said. So it's about time that the President and Congress rein in Homeland Security's TSA. Now, look, you've got people out there calling for the abolishment of ICE. Actually, I got a story about that here, too. We'll try to get into that a little bit later. But ICE isn't doing anything wrong or abusive. They're actually enforcing the law. They're doing a good job. Now, they're undermanned, overworked, stressed out, and they still do a good job. They even get shot at. Some of them even have gotten killed. Can somebody tell me a TSA agent that's ever been killed on the job? No, the worst thing that they have to do is verbally abusive passenger, because usually the passenger gets verbally abusive is because they abuse the passenger first. They don't get shot at. And by the way, I might add that not all, and probably not most, but many of the TSA agents that you run into in the airport, they would not be hired for most other types of law enforcement or security force jobs around the country. Many TSA agents would not be able to be a Border Patrol agent or an FBI agent or a federal marshal. They wouldn't. They're not capable of being local police officers, but they can be hired to be a TSA agent. And basically, what is a TSA? A TSA agent is a mall cop. It's all it takes. You pass a couple of federal tests and bingo, bango, bongo in Irving. There you go. You get to put on that blue uniform. No, blue and black because they wear black pants. I will admit, it's a pretty blue. Not going to lie, I like the color blue that their shirts are. And I will. There are some good agents. There are some good TSA agents. There are some sympathetic ones. There are some that, yeah, look, I've seen them. You know, and then there are some that you just think, are you kidding me? How the hell did you get this job? Because some TSA agents, they're about as, you know, they're about as bright as a thumbtack. And unfortunately, you know, unlike police officers, where you get a rare case, you get a bad apple in police departments. And these guys actually have guns. It is rare to have a bad apple cop. It's not so rare to have a bad apple TSA agent. But those cops are not immune. But now TSA agents are. Can somebody explain that to me, Lucy? That doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, TSA agents. So if you're flying, TSA agents are now immune. And they're now... what is the old airline? You know, you're free to fly about the country? Or free to roam the country? Well... Now the TSA can have their new slogan. Yes, you're now free to grope about the country. You're now free to harass and harangue about the country. You're now free to assault about the country. Because there's no stopping them. Yeah, that's the. There is their new theme song too. Anybody remember back in the day the duo called McFadden and Whitehead? TSA can adopt it now because judges have just said so. Ain't no stopping us now. We're on the grope.
You're listening to the Rod Echols Show.